Okay. We left off last week, Galatians chapter 1, still in chapter 1, but we got down to verse 15, 16. But we did find out, actually we found out just up to this point, Paul is basically just laying down his authority, his credentials, to explain to the Galatians pretty much why they should listen to him. You know, there's always opposition to the truth, right? And they want to know, well, who are you? I had an English teacher, and she used to always say, who died and made you boss? If you try to give some instruction, and they could, the Galatians would be against the Judaizers. They would ask Paul, well, who died and made you boss? Well, Paul's telling them that the Lord has died and made him boss. And he is. He is the apostle of the hour with the message of the hour. At the, as Paul would say, it's the acceptable hour. All that's involved in the grace of God. It's this time, this person, this message, this hope for us. And the Galatians traded it in for a lemon. Back to the law, back to performance. But he says, I certify you, brethren. It was a guarantee. We looked at that. He certified them that the gospel that he preached was not after man, neither by man, but he received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Well, we had exactly.
Chapter 1, Galatians 1, verse. We move him back up to verse. We'll pick it up at verse 16, 17.
Okay.
And he got it by revelation. Right? What does revelation mean?
Something that is revealed.
Something that is revealed. So he didn't get it from Peter. He didn't get it from any of the 12. What's that?
Jesus was not taught.
He was not taught by man. He was taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Which implies that it was what?
New.
It was new. It's new information. Right? So he says, neither did I receive it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you've heard of my conversation, verse 13, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And the Lord separated him, he says, to reveal his son in him, right? To preach him among the heathen. Now we think about heathen as, you know, savages, barbarians. But he's talking about the Gentiles. Right? Heathen.
Spiritual savages.
Spiritual savages, right? Heathen is synonymous with Gentiles, with nations. That's a lot of people. That's everybody who's not a Jew. And which is interesting, because we'll find out that when he goes to, when he gets done and he goes out of, when he gets done with the meeting that we will look at, he goes right out of that meeting and they says, okay, you go to the heathen, and he goes right out and he goes where?
Into the synagogue.
Into the synagogue of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Now you talk about, that's either Either Paul was directly disobedient, broke his truce, broke his agreement with those Jews, or our definition needs to be changed. Right? Well, we're not that far yet. Okay.
I was just thinking Gentiles, idol worshipers, and Israel was some of the most idolatrous on the face of the planet.
Well, we'll find out. Maybe it'll come out. All right, verse 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He said immediately after his conversion, immediately he went where?
To Arabia.
He says, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. You know, a lot of times where if you go out now, there you get saved, and first thing they tell you is you need to find a covering. You heard that? You ever heard that? You need to get under somebody's covering. You know what they mean by that? Is you need to find a older spiritual pastor or leader, and you let him take you under the wing and teach you.
Discipleship.
To be your mentor. Paul said, not me. He says, immediately, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't ask them, can you recommend anybody? I need a good spiritual advisor. I had a guy call me up. He called me up. He says, you know, I had been knowing him for years. And he never took my advice, and he still doesn't. But he called me up. He says, you know, I want you to be my, I forgot what he called it. Anyway, he wanted me like this. He wanted me to be his spiritual guidance or whatever. I don't say leader, but just for me to mentor him, I guess. And I was thinking that, what do you think I've been doing for the last 20 years? but Paul says here that I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for anybody to do that. He says, I went into Arabia. And you think about it, what's in Arabia?
Desert.
Like a wilderness.
What's in Arabia? Yeah.
A desert there.
What's that?
There might be a mountain there.
Right. There might be a mountain there. Right. And that mountain is, it has two names, actually. There's I'm trying to think what the verse was. I should have wrote that down. But is in Arabia is Mount Sinai, and it's also called Mount Horeb, Horeb. Do you know what happened at Mount Sinai?
Yeah,
what happened at Mount Sinai? Exodus. What'd you say?
Well, I didn't.
Okay.
Alyssa
don't know what happened at
Mount Sinai.
He
preached at Mount Sinai.
But he's talking about
in the Old Testament what happened
on
Mount Sinai.
Yep.
Is that also,
not only
the Exodus,
or
the... Well, let's look.
The Ten Commandments, but is that also where Abraham went to...
No, that's a different mountain. No, that's Mount Moriah.
Mount Moriah.
Okay, Exodus. Exodus.
19.
Is it 19? Exodus. Yeah, that's it. Exodus 19. Verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Before the what?
The mount.
The mount where?
In Arabia.
The mount
Sinai.
Okay. And Moses, verse 3, and Moses what? Went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Israel and Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So, who's in the mount?
God.
And who went up to meet him?
Moses.
What's the matter?
No, I was telling him about a movie that's getting ready to come out that I wanted us to go see.
Oh.
Mount Olympus.
Mount Olympus.
Well, it's not Mount Olympus, but the movie is called Olympus.
Okay.
And it's the Greek called that it is the Mount of the Mountain of the 12 Principal Gods.
Okay.
So let's deal with Zeus and all that. So.
Ah, okay. Well, here we talk about the one.
Right. When you said talking about God, talking to God in the mountains,
okay.
You know that I just thought about the Mount Olympus.
Better movie.
And that's why I looked at her. It's not that.
We won't get 12 voices out of this mountain. You only get one. And the Lord called Moses up to the mount. And we know what happened after that. The Lord gave him instructions, mm-hmm. right, to give to the people. So you think about, here's Moses in the desert in Mount Sinai, and he gets some information, right? And even before that, look back at Exodus chapter. This is before Moses even got to, when he left out of Egypt. Chapter 4. Let's see. Chapter 2. Start at
chapter 3 actually mentions
Horeb. Yeah, we're going to pick it up at 2 and then we'll jump over to 3. In 2:15, when after Moses kills the Egyptian, verse 15 says, Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And now chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, when Moses is here, he's in where? He's in Midian. Do you know where Midian is?
In Arabia.
It's in Arabia. And he's given you the layout of the same place. Midian is in Arabia, and in Arabia, he said it's called Mount Horeb. And Mount Horeb is called the what? The Mount of God. And God's in, he's in that mountain. God gives Moses his first commission to go where? Back to Egypt. Right? So here's Paul, and there's he goes, when he first gets saved, he goes back, he goes right to what? Back to Galatians. Paul goes right to
Arabia.
Okay, now, we just looked at all that. So, with all that you just covered, somebody says, Whitney, what happened to Paul after he got saved? And automatically, you should be thinking a few things. You should say, well, we know he got saved. We know he did what?
He went back to the mountains.
He went into Arabia. Well, it wasn't Arabia. He said, well, it's desert. Is that right? Yeah. But it's also wilderness. Right? And in Arabia, there's a what? It has two names. From Sinai. And S-I, is that right?
S-I-N-A-R.
S-I. That's a hospital in Michigan. Mount S-I. N-A-I.
That's all right. They didn't know how to spell it in Michigan either.
Or. But we know that it's really called the what? The Mount of God. And we know in the Mount of God, something happens.
He speaks.
Revelation, he speaks. He speaks, right? So we know Moses got his information in the Mount of God, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, in the wilderness, in the desert. That's in Arabia. So we can conclude from that, deduce, when Paul went into Arabia.
Location.
What happened?
He went to be before God.
Went to get a revelation.
He went to get her. So when Paul got saved in Acts 9, look back at Acts 9, what did the Lord tell him?
I've got many things to show you.
How many?
A lot.
A many, right? Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. All right, verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, this is Ananias, arise. I can't skip that verse. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in the vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You remember, I just remember the old guy. This is before I even had any interest in church, but I went one time and the man says, you want to know how to get saved? And he says, turn right and keep straight, like Straight Street. And he's, get on Straight Street and it'll be told what you ought to do. And I thought, okay, that was catchy. But when now that I see when he said, get on Straight Street, that's what he meant. Anyway, it was corny then too. But he says, verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he receives sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, this doesn't say that, but this I think it must be in Acts 22. Yeah, let's look at Acts 22. I believe it is 26. Make that 26. That's it. 26:16. When he gets to Paul and he says, what must I do? In verse 16, the Lord says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and what?
Of those things of which I will appear unto thee.
And of those things which I will appear unto thee. All right, one more for good measure. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. This is Paul speaking. He says, I will what? I will come to visions and revelations. Well, right off the start, he had one, didn't he?
Yes.
A saving revelation. Then he had a vision that Ananias was coming in, right? And then Ananias came to him and said, the Lord has chosen you as his vessel. And from that point on, from the beginning, you know, to the end of Paul's ministry, when Paul is in jail in 2 Timothy, when he's in jail, he's sitting there. Everybody, he says, all in Asia has forsaken me. And he's in jail, and he calls to Timothy, and he tells Timothy to bring the books and the cloak. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And he said this. This is his last writing. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. But what did he say?
But the Lord.
But the what?
But the Lord was with him.
He said, but the Lord stood with me, stood by me. I wonder how.
Innovation.
Had to be. He said, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. And that, can you imagine that? Now, here's a man who's, when the Lord says, I'll be there. I'll be there for you. From the start to the finish. And all in between. Isn't that something? Now, we have the same promise, right? But you won't get any physical visitations. But you got to know he's here. He's in here. Right? When it couldn't get any, well, for Paul, it couldn't have gotten any darker than where he was. In jail. He already got the sentence that this is it. The sentence has come down that he was to be executed. And here he is in the prison. He knows he's not getting out. And what he was thinking about, who knows?
He was praying.
But he's sitting there, and he sits down, and he has time to we'll get back to Galatians in a minute. He sits down, and he's reflecting over his ministry. And he says, some of my good people left. He didn't say that. He said what?
All
in Asia.
Which is where he started.
He says, which is when he tells the Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed. What do you think after he goes back and reestablishes the Galatians along with the Ephesians and the Philippians and Colossians and the Laodiceans, and then he gets to the end of his ministry, and he's sitting in the prison alone. And they can say, well, that was a failure. That whole 40, 50 years I spent for the Lord, just a waste of time. It's like, I should have stayed with Gamaliel. I know he didn't think that, but we would. Because what we see is that we should be what? We should be running over. We should be bursting out of the walls. Everybody should be embracing the ministry and the message. Don't we think like that? You just said it. They won't come. Guess what? They won't come. They might not come. But if I would be the servant of men, I would not be the servant. So who are you trying to please? Say, if you don't, your own family won't come. So here's Paul. He's sitting in there. But what I like is, look at 2 Timothy. See, if you read it, it'll stick. If I tell you, it might not stick. 2 Timothy. Start at verse 9. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. When he finished, he says, I finished my course. He says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's verse 7. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence, he's writing to Timothy, do thy diligence to come unto me, shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men, what?
Forsook
me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, what?
The Lord
stood with me, and what?
Strengthened
me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So even at the end, Paul says, he was persuaded that what? That the Lord would be there. And the Lord was there, wasn't he?
How was he when he died?
I don't know, Frank. I would, if I had to hazard a guess, I think he might have been in his 80s. What do you think, Ed?
You know, I would put him at about the maybe the age of the Lord, or more or less. So if he died close to 70 A.D., 68, 69 A.D., something around there, that'd give him another 30 years or so. So 60 to 70 or 80, I don't know. Anywhere. We don't know his
right
age. So
because he writes to Philemon, and he says this. He says, I could enjoin you, Philemon, to do what I say as Paul the aged.
Yeah.
But he says, but I'm going to leave it up to you. Anyway, back to Galatians. Verse 17, he says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, back to the Arabia, he doesn't say how long he stayed there. And he doesn't say what he did there. But again, you have some pretty good background information that you can, you know, he wasn't a shepherd in Arabia. I don't think he was shepherding sheep in Arabia like Moses was. Matter of fact, when I don't know if we talked about this, but I'm gonna get sidetracked on that. But anyway, where you think about, did we talk about this? The Lord always, when he's dealing with his revelators, they either come out of the desert or out of the wilderness.
It's been a while being
brought up. That's what you think about Moses, right? Elijah. I don't know where David was. David was.
Where was he tending the sheep or something?
Yeah, I don't think he was in the wilderness, and maybe, but I'm not sure where David was. But you have John the Baptist, the Lord himself, and then Paul. And it's there. Every one of them, well, we'll say every one except for the Lord, got information while they were out there about what to do next and what to go back and tell the people. So, like I said, we'd be safe to make that deduction. But it doesn't say. Right. That's the conclusion. We can say that. And he did say he was going to have revelation, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but it doesn't say how long he was there. And here's another thing where we is how many years was Moses in the desert?
40.
There it is. He was there in what, 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
How many days did it take Elijah to get to the desert? 40. He went 40 days and 40 nights. How long was it before John the Baptist was revealed? How long had the Lord been silent?
400 years.
How many days did Jesus spend in the wilderness being tempted? Days, rather, not years. 40. So, if I had to guess, I said, well, how long was Paul in Arabia?
Four days.
40 years.
40 days.
Could be. But he doesn't say. He doesn't say. But he says this. What he does say is, I went there. And I came back to Damascus. Right?
Yeah.
And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, here's a meeting. He goes and he goes to see Peter. So, and he says, and I abode with him 15 days. So, you think is, what's going on there? And then the Lord, he drops another number on us. I'm sure it means nothing, but he just drops it in there that he was there 15 days with Peter. I remember a guy saying that he went there, Paul went to Peter for instruction of what to do next. What's wrong with that statement?
He conferred with none of the other apostles.
He just told you in the previous verses that what?
He conferred not with flesh.
I didn't consult with him. And even before that, he says, the message that I preach, that I didn't what?
Didn't learn anything from man.
I didn't get it from man. So that would eliminate what? That would eliminate.
And he'll confirm that.
That will eliminate everybody, especially 12 men that we will be familiar with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't go up there to get information from Peter. As a matter of fact, you don't have your book open. He says, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And abode with him 15 days. I went up there to see Peter. That word is, you know what? He went up there. It was like an interview. He went up there to interview Peter. I like to look at it like this. At this time, right here, at this time where this meeting is, the program is on the way down and out, the Jewish program. And what do you think? Peter's the leader of that program, right? Okay. If Paul got, and this is assumption, I'm just, this is a surmising here. Yeah, Paul just got a revelation from the Lord, right? In Arabia. And the Lord's probably telling him, he says, you know, you're my new man, right? You're my new guy. Well, what about Peter? I'll give him the news, too. Give him what news? He's been laid off. As my pastor would say, he's been given a, I'll give him his pink slip after this discussion is over. And time goes by, and you know Peter is wondering what's happening. The program's not working out like it's supposed to. But he hears, everybody knows Saul has been saved now, right? So here's one leader. Here's the leader. And then all of a sudden, he gets a knock on the door. Who is it? It's Saul.
Oh, ain't nobody home.
Nobody home. And he comes in and... this is just like TV stuff, you know. And Paul goes in there and I'm sure he said, well, like a exit interview where you have one manager coming in and it says, so tell me about your program. Like, how was it working with the Lord? How was it like being a leader? How was it being the head of this program? How do you feel now that it didn't flop. It's just temporarily set aside. Just getting, you know, like to know him as a person, as a leader, as a fellow brother. Now, I'll show you why I said that, because every time you see this number, not every time, but when you see this number, 15, it always has to do with comfort, with support. So he says, I abode with him 15 days. And other apostles I saw, I didn't see any others except for James, the Lord's brother. Maybe he's, hey James, what was it like to have the Lord as a brother? A big brother. Your big brother's the Lord. What was that like? What was it home like? What was it? You growing up with the Lord in your house? Isn't that something? That's, if you had anybody famous, you know, like I was just listening to it was something on TV where this guy, Michelle Obama, was talking about some guy who, when she was little, in grade school, he kissed her. She was her first kiss. So you're thinking, and she said it was on, you know, everybody heard on TV, everybody heard it. So, how do you think, here's this guy back somewhere, if he's still around?
That was me.
He's walking around like
that. I was the man back then. Just to be associated with somebody famous. Well, how much more fame can you get than growing up with the Lord?
That's it.
You couldn't get any higher than that, could you?
But they didn't know when he was a kid, did he?
You know what? They didn't. They did. After a while, they believed him, but they doubted. They doubted too, because it says
always stood beside him. Right?
You know what? Scripture did always made references to the things that he did, and it would always say this. It would say, and he said this, and he did this, and scripture would say, and she pondered these things in her heart. So you're thinking, but what they talked about, We would like to know that. But he doesn't say exactly. All we can do is guess about it. But I know. You know what? Look at this verse in Job, and we're going to stop. It's interesting. Job 10. Is it 10? That was just, you know, when you're going through study, a certain verse has come to your mind. And this is one that came to my mind. Job chapter 10, Job 10, yeah, verse 20. And, you know, if it didn't work out for you, okay, Ed, there was a time where, you know, maybe your business, you were flat, down and out, right? And he says that you found yourself in the fetal position.
More than once.
And he's sitting there and he says, I looked around and everything I did had fell apart. And I just crawled up in the ball in the fetal position and just felt sorry for himself, right? Well, and we're talking about an earthly business, right? What about the Lord's business? Where Peter looks up and it's not working out and the Lord hasn't really given him any reason, any revelation as to why this is happening. So I can see him. He crawls up in a big old ball and says, ah. Remember when he says, do you love me, Peter? He says, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know I do, Lord. And he said, before the cock crows three times, you'll do what? Oh, no. Not me. Not me, Lord. Didn't he say that? And then when it happens, when the cock, matter of fact, he denied it so vehemently that the scripture said that the lady asked him, and he did what?
He cursed.
He began to curse. And then what happened? And the scripture said what? He went away and wept bitterly. Well, after he finds out, I believe, this program, you know what, he needs some comfort. And all of a sudden, here comes a new man, and he says, hey man, it wasn't you. You didn't fail. He's changing the program. I'll tell you about it a little more as he tells me. He's like, and they, you know what? And they, who's in Galatia? other than the Galatians, who's in Galatia with Paul? Peter. Man, come on, get out of that house, man. Come on. Up here and eat with the Gentiles, man. Come on. Of course, he relapsed. but anyway, you had to do that on your own time. But these are real people. You know, we read it, but he says, I went up and I abode with him 15 days. And I saw his little brother. Other than that, didn't nobody even know I was in town. And verse 20, now the things I write. Oh, man, we got to stop there. I said I'm going to stop.
We were in Job.
Oh. what does it say? Yeah, go ahead and read that.
Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little.
Yeah, that's and I can see that's when I thought about Peter when I read that verse where he just, you know what, he just shut down. And
hadn't
well, that's.
Hadn't Peter already gone to eat with the military guys at that time? Hadn't he already seen it?
Oh, that
the Gentiles were saved by.
I believe he did. I believe this in this time period that he did, but
maybe before this time period.
Yeah. But he and he hadn't put it together yet. And then when Paul shows up, and it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Was Paul going to him to let him know that he was the new man?
You know what? It doesn't say that, Angela, but I believe he did. I believe he went to tell him.
But what about in the next chapter in Galatians 2? It says he went up and he ran not in vain.
But that was when they go to this meeting, Peter already knows. That's what he says when he stands up in Acts 15 in his defense. He says, hey, wait. He says, the Lord has, he showed me this, that he was doing something over here. So Peter gets all this information together. Why do you think his, you know, when he goes on, is so, the contention is so sharp between the two of them when Peter does turn around and go back?
They've already.
He says,
all this out.
He said it. He says, you know this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, you know what? I actually thought we were going to get, like, down to chapter 2. far into chapter 2. But maybe next, we didn't even make it out of chapter 1.
I don't blame you for it.
So, but anyway, we'll pick it up and We'll start at chapter 2. We'll just go back and pick up the last verses and then start at chapter 2. So let's stop there.